Hey there, coffee lovers. Do you want to make your morning cup of Joe something special? Let's talk about Joe Bean Coffee, a gem right here in Rochester. I'm Chris Lindstrom, host of the Food About Town podcast and co-founder of Lunchador. I've been a longtime fan of Joe Bean. Kathy, Dina, and the whole team are passionate about their coffee and this city, and it comes through in every cup of Joe Bean Coffee that I brew at home. Joe Bean has been a part of Rochester for years, over a decade, building lasting community and a sense of belonging for everyone who loves coffee. Next time you need beans, head over to Joe Bean's Roastery at 565 Blossom Road in Rochester or shop online at joebeanroasters.com. Even better, subscribe to Joe Bean's Perpetual Joy and you'll receive freshly roasted beans on your schedule and never be without your favorite coffee. Joe Bean is more than just coffee. It's a community, a commitment, and a cup full of care.
Welcome to Dialed In. I'm Wade Reed.
And I'm Aaron Pescucci.
And we are joined by our producer, Chris Lindstrom.
Hello, hello. Beautiful, beautiful day in Rochester today.
It is.
I wouldn't know. I was in the warehouse all day roasting. I got none of that. I wanted to bike here, and I left too late. And we are joined by special guest. Introduce yourself.
Hey, guys. I'm Colin Flume. Pretty new to Rochester, about 3 years now.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and I started a little coffee shop in the ABC neighborhood called Montgomery Court.
Sweet. And that's at the corner of Park and Colby.
Yep.
Probably a pretty familiar corner to people, whether they realize it or not.
I think when he walked in, I said, that's the, you know, the other side of Park Ave.
Yeah,
you know,
the other end.
It's the other side of the pillow, as you would have said back in the day.
You know, when I went down the other day, I went to Park Ave, and, you know, the CVS parking lot was where, you know, I park because I don't care and don't mind walking, and it's always parking, right?
Right.
So I start walking on my little phone to Montgomery Court, and I'm like, where the heck is this place? I had to get back in the car, and I'll be honest, I've been here for at least 10 years since I moved away and didn't realize Park Ave went that long.
Most people don't. I have to let them know it was there before, and it was the antique store. Now I'm drawing a blank on the name of it.
I can't remember the name of it either.
13 times.
Well, and I lived like right across that corner. I lived in one of those buildings right there. Useless Objects? Is that what it was called?
That is a great name for
it. It is a great name.
Excellent. All right, so Montgomery Court is an awesome shop. I think a lot of folks listening have probably been there. Aaron, said you visited?
Yeah, I was. When I saw Colin outside, I had to admit that I hadn't been there, even though I'd known about it for a long time. So I made a special trip down the other day to make sure I could go see there. Great little area, great spot, and you know, I think we're going to have a great conversation about it, which is going to be the best part, you know? And pleasure to meet you in person. That's always the coolest thing. When you walk back to a place, you're like, I know the guy who owns this.
Aaron's that guy. He's going to come in and tell barista, I know the owner.
I know the owner.
Oh, no. Those girls would look at me and be like, who is this dude?
That's funny. Yeah, so I've only made it over there like two or three times. It's so silly, too, because like I'm delivering to that area like often enough that I could stop in a lot more. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just a terrific spot. It is related to what we're going to be talking about. It's interesting what you've done with the corner. And can't wait to get into that. The inside is excellently laid out. The second you walk in, you know, you see just like it's a ton of bar, you know, which is really nice. I love that personally because I'm like, this tells me, you know, coffee focus.
You know?
And then it's coming out to meet you and it's. Yeah, and the service was excellent. So
coffee first.
Well, I mean, let's hear it from the man himself. I mean, it communicates that, I'd say.
Yeah. How would you describe Montgomery Court?
Oh, that's a good question. So I guess I'll walk you back a little bit from the origin of Montgomery Court. I used to own three coffee shops in Denver, and my wife is from Canandaigua. And she moved into a building across the street from one of my coffee shops. And that building was called Montgomery Court.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And her and her girlfriends lived there. They would drink wine on the patio at night and call themselves the Housewives of Montgomery Court. And
perfect.
When we were coming back here, she wanted to do like a little wine and cheese bar. Eventually someday, maybe when she's retired or you know.
Sure.
And she wanted Phase to call two. It Montgomery Court.
Nice.
When we were searching for names for this spot, or when we were brainstorming, I was coming up with a bunch of silly names. My old coffee shop was called Rooster Cat. It's a pun. Are we allowed to cuss on?
Yeah,
here?
Go for it.
All right. I don't know our audience, but Rooster Cat, it's Cock Pussy. Yeah. So I opened three shops downtown Denver called Cock Pussy. Yeah. So I was playing with funny names. I was going to originally call it, and the entity was set up as this. I was going to call it Not Another Coffee Shop. So when you get the DNC article, they're like, Not Another Coffee Shop opens on Park Ave. I thought it would be catchy and fun and blah, blah, blah. My dad was like, please don't do another place with a silly name. And then my wife looked at me and she's like, okay, I'll let you use Montgomery Court. And I was like, yes.
Perfect.
So we went with that. And that's kind of the origins of the name.
Very cool.
I drove past it when I first moved here. And it was like empty or something. So it was changing hands or whatever. I'm like, that would be a perfect coffee shop.
The current location, right?
The current location where I'm at. Yeah, sorry. So I was driving past it, and there was a little Chemex pour over thing in the window. And I'm like, oh, somebody's going to do it. Good for them. And then nothing for a year. And then I see a big sign that says available. And I'm like, oh, babe, we got to do it.
Nice.
Yeah. You guys know this, but like coffee shops are a community center. It's a place where everybody can meet, and ABC Neighborhood was dying for something like that.
Yeah. I think when we were talking about it the other day, it's kind of the perfect area for a locals coffee shop because there is no hang.
Right.
There's no hang in the neighborhood.
Nope.
Like, and it seems like that's the opportunity more than anything. It's not like a destination, but it's for the neighborhood. It's so important that something like that exists.
Absolutely. And it's 19 blocks away from the stretch of, I mean, it's far down there.
Yeah.
It's not infringing
on any of that over there.
Yeah.
For sure.
So, and I don't think I would personally want to have a spot up in there.
Like when you were picking that, was that like kind of the obvious thing? Like, oh, you see the opportunity.
I just saw the opportunity. It was really, I mean, it just screamed coffee shop,
park,
you know, meeting place. And there wasn't a lot of options for people in the ABC neighborhood. I mean, you could go to Dunkin' Donuts or, you know, walk over to, you know, Starbucks. It's probably the two closest. Well, there's Canal Town as well.
Yeah.
Is real close as well. And they're excellent folks over there. It needed a spot like that.
Well, so, it screams corner store, like the gathering spot, right?
Yeah.
You walk down and it's immediately recognizable as like a public space.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and it's, you know,
windows
it's inviting.
On both sides, and very inviting. Around the same time as Montgomery Court, was that when Language of Coffee started? Tell us about that one. That venture.
So
we all
know the economics of roasting your own coffee for coffee shops. I mean, when you buy from a wholesale from another coffee shop or from a coffee roaster, it's expensive. So I wanted to. I love roasting. We had our own roaster at our old shop.
Oh, cool.
But
on
the smaller scale, I didn't really wholesale to a lot of other companies, a couple restaurants in Denver, nothing too crazy. I had a little 5 kilo. You'd get a kick out of this. It was a 5 kilo Ambex, but it was electric. It wasn't gas.
Yep. Yep.
And it was yellow.
No,
was
I would not get a kick out of that. I'm not a fan. Not an Ambex fan personally.
Yeah. No, me neither. Not at all. But we used it just to provide for our three shops and wholesaled to a couple of restaurants. With Language of Coffee, I was looking for warehouses, just a small little warehouse to roast out of to supply for Montgomery Court, and then start establishing some of our wholesale partners and to provide for, you know, other coffee shops and restaurants around town. But they started at the same time.
Yeah.
So when Montgomery Court was going, I still didn't even have a name picked out for the company. I was still building the brand of Language of Coffee, and I had it kind of dialed in where I want my brand and just kind of our taste profiles. They were happening the same time, all the way up until we opened Montgomery Court. So
they
happened at the same time.
What are you roasting on there?
I've got a 50. So we have a warehouse. We're actually switching our locations. That's a long story, but not going to get into that one. We're moving over to where the night market is, Flint and Exchange.
Yep.
There's an old refinery building. There's
lots of space. Bunch of
different cool artsy like-minded folks. There's a bakery in there. There's like some sound collectives and
Greenovation is around the corner.
And the night market's really popping off. So we're creating like a semi-permanent mobile cart. So we're going to be like their coffee partners there.
Yeah.
But we're building out our space and we're moving our roaster in there in about 2 weeks. And we have a 15 kilo Ozturk bay.
No, I'm just kidding.
I think that also makes a lot of sense though, too, right? Like being in an area that has opportunity and has a desire, I think, for things to do, for, you know, accessible coffee and other things. I think that makes a lot of sense because I think, you know, where I saw it was before is like it's a lot closer to a lot of other things.
Mm-hmm.
And having that opportunity to be a little bit separated from what already exists, I think it's a very smart move. It puts you in a better spot to make your own space.
Yeah. Yeah. We were like the original location, we were in there for a year and we were working on building out a full cafe that was going to be open, you know, normal cafe hours. But it was so close to Rory, Ugly Duck.
Yeah.
And before I even, you know, signed the lease and started our build out over there, I called Rory and sat him down. I'm like, hey, I won't do this if you're not okay with it. Like, I don't want to be, you know, I'm a roastery first, not a cafe, so I'm not trying to compete on that. I just want a place to be able to have where anybody can come and have that roastery experience, very similar to those open brewery concepts where you can come in, drink your beer. So I wasn't going for a full coffee shop vibes. Had a long conversation with, you know, we all know that Rory, how, you know, super lovely guy. And he was like, go for it. No problem. Awesome. I started really getting into it and figuring out that neighborhood does not need that at all. Some other stuff happened in that area. And I'm like, you know what? Let's go. Let's move over to something a little bit more simple. So our new location for Language of Coffee, roasting, and we're going to be like, we're going to be providing coffee over at the Rochester Night Market.
So. Love that.
And you kind of got to love the way that works out. Like, you can imagine where, like, if you just moved into like a business park, there would be like an existing Dunkin' or like an existing Tim Hortons or something there in that area, right? And like, that's where everyone would get their coffee. But you have a chance to like establish and build and be the cart and kind of serve in the same way you would in a business park, but it's actually like smaller entities and you're actually like part of the life of it. And like, I feel like that's, like Chris was saying, like so many reasons that's like such an awesome move.
The moment we were like, hey, we're going to move over there, it's just a huge weight lifted off my shoulder. I didn't feel like, you know, not that there was going to be competition with Ugly Duck and us, but, you know, just even that, just sitting there in the back of my brain was just,
you know. Because you can't control public perception. I think that's kind of the thing that I've discovered now that AMFM is open, like so close to Java's, and like I'm like so tight with my Calabrese, and like every time I see him, you know, it's hugs, it's love, it's, you know, we don't like, there's no real competition felt. He has a pretty captive audience, and like they're Rochester staple. We're not taking down Java's ever, right? So like,
sure.
So like we're adding to the community in our mind, but like there is like this sneering kind of, why would you, you know, like, what do we need this, you know, we have job, you know, and I'm like, yeah, and until every Dunkin', Starbucks, and Tim Hortons in the city is closed, I'm gonna keep opening things, because like it doesn't make any sense.
We're not competition. AMFM, Java's not competition, us, Ugly Duck, whatever, we're not competition.
But the public,
our competition is the big corporate,
exactly,
and until, like you said, until people stop going to those, you know, us local people are not competition. Well,
and we've talked about the public perception, I think.
Oh, the public.
Yeah, it's like, I have this, why do I need that?
And if you're an Ugly Ducker, like, they are the most loyal. Java's and Ugly Duck have
extremely
loyal. And so I wasn't worried about Rory or even the baristas. We get along great with all them. But their customers, you know, you're automatically going to have a little bit of that, you know.
Yeah, and it's unnecessary, but it's small town vibes, and and you have, and the opportunity to sidestep it is awesome. I do, you know, I love hearing about new places in Rochester, and you know, we've done this a few times with a few different places, but you have like, I think, a really unique story as well, as far as like getting into zoning and how new small businesses have to navigate the city and all the different regulations and whatnot. And so I think we're going to take a quick break. And then when we come back, I want to really like jump on that, because that's the kind of stuff that just fascinates me. And I look forward to hearing your story.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we'll get a plug in. So where can people find Montgomery Court online? So we'll do that and we'll plug again further on.
We're mostly active online on our Instagram, which is, I believe our handle is Montgomery Court Coffee.
Yeah, that's MONTGOM. Gum ery Montgomery. Search for that
mouthful. Yeah.
Search for that on Instagram. Find them there. Check out the hours. Make sure you go check out the shop. And we'll be right back. I'm Chris Lindstrom, the host of the Food About Town podcast. If you want to learn more about the Rochester food and drink scene and beyond, with a good dose of nerdery and personal stories on top, then Food About Town is for you. I've been writing and podcasting for over 10 years, and I'm so thankful for all the support from the community. Subscribe to the Food About Town podcast today and hear from the people that make and love the food and beverages you can't stop enjoying.
And we are back with Colin Flume of Montgomery Court and Language of Coffee.
Hello, hello.
Park and Colby, if you want to go visit them, check out Montgomery Court Coffee on Instagram.
Don't forget Rooster Cat.
If you're in the Denver area,
open.
Rooster Cat.
There's still
the
one
Denver
location
area,
open there.
Still one?
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Sweet. How long were you in Denver?
Pretty much my whole life. I did a stint in L.A. and Alaska, but
cool.
I was in Denver. I grew
Alaska,
up in Denver.
As you
say,
do?
Where'd you grow up?
That's awesome.
I grew up like right by Red Rocks. So I could I could have my window open and listen to Red Rocks concerts.
One of my biggest gripes is I went out to Denver and I was like, I got to go to Red Rocks. I don't care what's there. You know who was playing?
Who?
Weird Al.
Oh.
That was it.
Well.
Yes.
I don't know if
Chris,
I want my
Chris is
first...
jealous, but
I couldn't do it.
I mean, no hate on
I'm a huge fan. I just saw him in Darien Lake a few weeks ago.
Not surprised.
Loved it.
Such a great
show.
When he said it, I was like, yep.
I knew Chris was going to
do it. I'm a huge fan for my entire life.
Okay.
I would have killed to see that.
So, Colin,
we can talk about Weird Al though.
We should.
Yeah, let's do it.
You move to Rochester. You find the ideal coffee shop. You get baited by a Chemex in a window. You have the perfect name from your past, all kinds of resonances, and then you apply for all the relevant permits and everything, and you're getting open and. You know, I don't want to say it's been like rocky or difficult. I want to let you kind of represent it the way you represent it. But like, what sorts of things for people who maybe don't realize?
Yeah, tell us what
you
went through that process.
I've given this advice out to a lot of people who've wanted to start a coffee shop.
Don't open a coffee shop.
Or any business. Yeah, number one. Check your zoning before you sign a lease, before you buy a building. Everybody makes that mistake, you know, once or twice in their entrepreneurial, you know, lifespan. But I knew this. I knew to check zoning. I didn't check zoning before I signed the lease. I wasn't too worried about it because it was had commercial. And I'm also new to Rochester, so I don't know the zoning rules that well here.
What does commercial mean here, right?
Exactly. Yeah. They vary. They're vastly different than Denver's zoning laws. But there was already, you know, there was a barbershop there. There was antique store. It used to be a grocery store. It was a candy store. Like, you know, I was not worried about zoning.
Right.
So I get into it. We're putting all of our design together. I bring it to the city. I bring all the architect plans, your MEPs, getting all your license together. You register your LLC. You set up your workers' comp. You know, there's a lot of paperwork that goes behind it. Walk into zoning, not worried about getting through zoning because normally zoning just checks a few things. Yeah, you're good, blah, blah, blah. And then you move on to the building department. That's usually where you have most of your hiccups and difficulties is through building. But... she's like, ooh, so have you signed the front desk lady when I'm handing it in? She's like, have you signed your lease here yet? And I was like, oh, yeah, we're pretty knee deep into it. And she's like, So this is zoned residentially. We know this building pretty well, and there's been some tenants and people that tried to do stuff there in the past, and it's just not going to happen. And
she just straight told you, it's not, you can't do it.
Yep. So I'm like, okay, all right. I walk out, call my wife. I'm like, Courtney, I screwed up. Go home, go down the whole, you know, Google dark, you know, dark hole of Googling and trying to figure out different options on how I can make this work. And so they had a grocery store in there, about 30 years ago. And there's a lot of, you know, if it, you can go back to a previous use.
Okay. Oh, all right. Yeah.
And I was like, well, there's this. So I go back, talk to the people up front at zoning. And I was like, hey, there's a grocery store. So, you know, let's, you know, that seems like a previous commercial use. Let's move forward. They're like, no, we can't. We could potentially get you a takeout license. And, well, it's not a takeout license, but we can approve your zoning with a takeout license. Or with a, I don't know if it's a license, but you know, yeah, we can approve it.
Yeah. If we call you this thing, and you pay this way instead of, yep.
So we had to go in front of the zoning board and the city planning commission, present it. That process took a few months. You know, you're back and forth with attorneys. You're, you know, a lot of paperwork, a lot of, you know, just red tape, essentially. Finally get to present it. There's a couple people on the city planning commission board that denied it. They're like, this looks like a restaurant, not a takeout place, or this looks like a coffee shop, not just a, you know. So luckily we did pass. They're like, hey, you can do a takeout license, serve coffee and food, but you're not allowed to have more than 6 seats.
Is that why you have those standing bars when you walk right in?
Exactly.
Because that was one of the first things I noticed. And on our previous episode, we were talking about how you know if a place is coffee first versus a restaurant that serves coffee. Right. So that was a tip off for me, as that was first in my hand. The other thing that I noticed, and I have my answer, is my coffee came in a to-go cup.
Mm-hmm.
And now I think I know why.
We don't have ceramics for that reason. I would love to be able to have ceramics. We have a couple hidden in the back.
For
the real, you know. But we have a pretty big, you know, a decent square footage in there. We've got about 2,000 square feet of available sitting. So I'm like, it's going to look terrible having this big open room. So when we first opened, I built the my prior career in life, I worked in film and produced movies. So I have a little bit of like set building knowledge, not too much, but just enough. So we built these set flats and we made it really small. So we like a quarter of the place, we like essentially closed out majority of it and just put 6 little booths.
Mm-hmm.
That was my 6 seats. We open up, we had a line out the door. We had a line to East Avenue on our opening party. There was, you know, 500 people that showed up, and I was just shocked. I didn't know anybody in Rochester. I knew very few, you know, our small core group of friends didn't really know anybody else. How the word got out, we had a couple little news articles, and, you know, Tracy over at DNC did an article. We were on Channel 4 or something. I did not expect that big of a turnout. And that's one thing I want to talk about is I'm going to compare Denver and Rochester quite a bit. But Denver, it's cool to go and be like, shop local and put it on your Instagram.
Yep.
Rochester, they put shop local. They actually mean it. They literally show up. They don't do it because it looks cool. They really love supporting small businesses.
Yeah.
They get excited about small businesses. They post it on social media.
Just not the zoning board.
Just not the zoning.
Somebody
does. I'm talking about just our general, just our regulars, our customers, the population, the residents of Rochester love supporting small businesses, and they get excited here.
Yeah, I think it is something that we can all kind of hang our hats on a little bit, is that people do show up.
Yeah.
If you care, like people care around here. Like if you're trying, and we've seen a lot of stuff pop up, I'm like, oh geez, I'm not sure that's gonna work.
Right.
But they care hard, and then people show up.
Yeah, they absolutely show up. And if you give that love back and that, you know, that passion, good service, and make people feel welcome, they return. But, you know, They don't just come and post once and then go back to their Starbucks and their Dunkin' Donuts or whatever, you know, their Applebee's. They're trying to get back to you
as much as they can.
And it just felt so genuine. It felt fake in Denver. Felt very genuine here in Rochester. Yeah. So I love that. I wanted to throw that part in there for sure. Like it's been really cool. So when we opened, I kept it really small and just cut it down because just the vibes of it would just be weird. You can echo.
Yeah.
And you kind of did that a little bit with AMF Enem as well. When you're expanding into your second space, you kept that back area closed for a little bit and slowly open.
Maybe
that's a different story.
It's really different. Okay. Yeah. it's completely different. Worlds apart.
So we made it really small and tiny and cozy, and I actually loved the look of it. The problem is we had line out the door all the time, and you just couldn't fit people there. And I opened in September. Yesterday, I think, was our 1 year. Yeah, yesterday was our 1 year anniversary. Woo-hoo! Yay, party.
Yep.
And I was like, it's about ready to get cold, and I've experienced enough Rochester winters. Like, I can't fit people in here while they're waiting for their coffee.
Yeah.
So I took the set flats and I doubled my size of my space. And I'm like, how are people just going to like awkwardly stand next to each other like that?
Right.
So we had the idea of, well, they're not seats. So let's build bar height tables.
Yeah.
Yep.
We built four long ones.
Yep.
And people can sit and eat. Or there's a lot of people that have standing desks at home. You can come here and work and stand. They're not seats.
It's great. When I showed up, I was like, this is genius. How come no one else has done this? Because especially like there's a lot of times that I'm going out for coffee and I don't want to sit for like an hour. Right. I don't want to be a coffee rat or whatever. We need a nickname for those people if there is one.
Huh.
But I want to sit and drink my coffee and maybe pull out my laptop or my phone for like 20 minutes and then I'm out. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's perfect for that. And I'm also the kind of guy, we talked about the community aspect. I want to be able to like strike up a conversation with somebody. You know, if someone else is just sitting there drinking coffee, it's like, hey, good morning. You know, see if they're interested in having a quick chat, you know. And that like it just oozes that vibe to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like come in, get to know somebody, have a good coffee. Right.
Well, and that's kind of also the situation where a constraint forced creativity in a way that, like, you had no choice. You have to make a decision to do something and make the best out of what you have in front of you at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely.
But those
were the cards I was dealt with at that moment. So I'm going to step back a little bit with the zoning stuff. When I was filling out that paperwork, they were talking about ZAP, which is our new zoning
The rezoning initiative. Project, yeah. I don't even know.
It's still in progress after all this time.
Yeah, so when I came
quote,
in.
Quote-unquote progress.
Yeah.
Quote-unquote. When I came in, they're like, we will have this done by December. This is last year. And you can come in and they're going to add our building in the new ZAP zoning alignment project. They have us kind of spot zoned and they came up with a name called Boutique Residential, which gives the people in zoning a little bit more flexibility to allow us to have more seats. So it's based on occupancy, not on actual seating.
In recognition of the fact that you're serving the community and that like some of these people, they might live right there. They're not like in a hurry to like grab their coffee and get out. They want somewhere to sit. That's not their house or their office or whatever. You know, yeah. So like, I mean, it's not a bad innovation. It would make sense. So how'd that go in December?
Great. December rolled along. Hey, how's that going? You know, I followed up. They're like, oh, we're still working on it. All right, give us a couple more months. And I'm like, no. All right, a couple months more go by. And I'm frustrated. So I just sent the mayor an email, like, blah blah blah. Here's my situation. I'll give him credit. He responded within like 30 minutes. And sent a few of his people over to meet with me the following, you know, business day.
Look at that.
Okay. I was like, damn, Rochester's got my back. I'm feeling energized. I'm like, we're going to make this happen. And more or less the same thing. Hey, so we should have this done by December.
Which December, options, just to clarify?
Your yes. options are, you can wait till the new zoning comes in, or let me think about this here. That was pretty much my only option. And we already knew that you know, they weren't able to give me a lot of realistic.
Yeah. They wanted to look responsive, but, the response didn't really accomplish much.
Those guys that came are regulars, are awesome people that, you know, work for the mayor and stuff, but they just, you know, their hands are tied. They did tell us, they're like, hey, we are working on, we don't want to be in the same position 30 years from now. So we are taking our time with this new zoning stuff to be able to make sure we don't have issues like you're dealing with. And I'm like, you know, that makes sense, but I'm not going to be just strung along here and waiting for the city. I've invested, you know, a couple $100,000 of my hard-earned money, like all of my money, you know, open with a negative $200 in our bank account.
Yeah.
You know, we pour our heart and our soul into it, and it's just kind of, it's, you know, it's a little bit of a middle finger. Like, hey, just wait. You know, I'm not going to wait for every December.
From a neutral way of saying it, these are the kind of things that help a city actually grow. Is if the neighborhood is just houses and there's not things for people to go and do, you don't feel connected to your community. You don't feel connected to your area. These are the things that make that community feel like, you know, an actual community. I recall we had somebody over that was running a restaurant over on Culver. And they had so many people coming to their events that the neighbors were starting to complain that they couldn't find street parking. And I'm like, this is the price you pay to have vibrancy in your neighborhood. This is what you should make exceptions to. This is the thing you need to make Rochester a place that people want to move to. Mm-hmm. And the different neighborhoods, not just the other side of Park Ave,
not just
East Ave, not just University. It's all the other neighborhoods, like when you're talking about the Flint area, when you're talking about over on this side of Park Ave. These are the things that make those neighborhoods, makes people want to stay, makes people want to move there.
When we were looking at moving back to Rochester after living in California, we had within a mile, like a little, it's like a little downtown, like from us in California. You know, there was a movie theater there was a pub there was a donut place and a coffee shop, and it was, you know, just over a mile, right? But at least for me, that's perfect, right? I can get out, I can go for a walk, I can get out of the house. When we moved back to Rochester, when we were talking with our realtor, we said, you know, we kind of want to be able to walk someplace, you know, but we were looking in, you know, the suburbs, Fairport, Penfield, Pittsford, wherever. And we said, we don't care which one, but like, there's something little we can walk to, right? And the guy pretty much laughed at us. Like, this doesn't exist.
Yeah, not walkable neighborhoods. Fairport maybe has places.
If you're within that,
there's also like, it's kind of sprawling. So yeah, absolutely.
But if you're, yeah, it's a very small area if you're looking for that. And so like to have a place like that with, like there's four big apartment buildings that I saw, mm-hmm. you know, just walking down that way.
I used to live in one.
So,
go ahead.
Well, and on that beat too, like this is what makes neighborhoods livable. I think I've heard you say or read in a post that like you've been used in promotional materials for the city, right? Like you guys have lent like your credibility, your name, your face, like the and what you've done and what you've invested in, why and.
So I was having a beer at Magpie across from Starbucks.
Yeah, buddy.
So I did this post and I'm gonna just read it. Still blows my mind that a Starbucks was allowed to open on Park Avenue with no problem. Meanwhile, the city limits us to 6 indoor seats and buries us in red tape. At the same time, the city of Rochester features us in tourism promos and social media like we're a success story. We're trying to play by the rules, but if something doesn't change soon, we're done staying quiet. So that was me. Not being quiet. It got
magpied.
Yeah, this is little magpie.
Never drink and post at the same time.
So that went viral. And thousands of shares, tens of thousands of views.
I think that's 90, how I was 000. Made aware of, you know, the issue and like
that was what we got to. You sent it to me, I sent it to you as one of the two.
Definitely the moral of the story is don't drink and post, especially on your business account. But
Or do. Let's see what we can get done. Like,
right. A massive corporation on the same street is able to have as many seats as they want. You know, I understand it's you know, in a different neighborhood. Is that me? I'm sorry.
That's all right.
All good.
It's my take out the trash reminder.
Yep.
I got
recycling tonight.
I was going to say, is it the mayor calling right now? Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
No, because that's like, off. And it is disheartening to see. And obviously, you know, with the pre-existing zoning, everything, but still the contrast is disheartening to see that many seats and that much open space.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you got six.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it's tough. And I guarantee you, if Starbucks wanted to open a shop right there, they would have had no problem. Zero.
Oof. Just going to let that one hang in the air for a minute because I think I agree with you, but that's tough. And I think it's amazing that you're still able to do so many good things. So like Montgomery Court, we've kind of brushed up against the question. Do you consider it coffee first?
Oh, that's a good question.
I got an even better one.
I was going to say, I'm going to get to it first, Wade.
Yeah, you should. I got this one.
I want to say yes, but it's evolved to something different.
Okay.
Tell us about that.
It's feeling more and more like a cafe. We've got a full kitchen. Yeah. We sell hundreds, if not thousands, of burritos every month.
Yep.
It is very, very popular.
Cool.
We got some people that are obsessed with our burritos. So I am a coffee first, coffee forward person.
Sure.
And when you do walk into our shop, the first thing you see is we have a wrapped La Marzocco Strada. Beautiful. It's wrapped with like these beautiful flowers on it.
Yeah, it looks great.
You know, we've got, you know, top of line grinders. We've got good roasting.
Wade's roasting for you, right?
I do enjoy last their week. Coffee.
Just to clarify,
yes,
no.
Yes, right. Yes. In my transition period, Wade's last helped week. Me out. Yep. So yeah. I appreciate that. But yes. Yes and no. It's hard to, I'm in that weird, I've never managed a kitchen before. So yeah. This was a learning curve for me. Our wait times when I first opened were like 40 minutes, which was insane. During our rush, we've got it down to like 10 now,
which,
but that's a lack of experience on my side.
That's a systems thing. Yeah. And then if you've run a place before, maybe not a kitchen, but you know, systems with getting your, you know, getting your drink times down, and it's just learning that side of the system.
And I'm talking about on the food side. On coffee all day long, easy, quick, but you know,
it's just learning
you finish your
of
coffee
systems,
before
yeah.
you got your burrito. Yeah. So we struggled with that. So I am struggling to figure out if we are a coffee first person.
Well, we're going to take one more break before we dive into our new favorite question. So
sweet,
we'll be right back.
Welcome to Behind the Studio Door, where we dig into the vibrant creative landscape of Rochester, New York. Hi, I'm Molly Darling, and along with my co-host Christian Rivera and our fabulous producer Chris Lindstrom, it's my pleasure to guide you through the dynamic world of our local creative professionals. Each episode offers a unique glimpse into the studios of those who enrich our Rochester community with their artistic vision. Join us as we explore the diversity and talent in Rochester, revealing the compelling narratives and creative journeys that exist just beyond the studio door.
And I'm back from the bathroom. And Aaron, after we recorded last time, we came up with the ultimate question for a coffee podcast. Best question.
Yeah, and we had...
And we've never
I wish
asked
we were recorded it because we talked for like an hour after we recorded.
In the kitchen.
Right. So the question is, what's the best cup of coffee you've had?
Ever in your life.
Oh, I love this question.
Isn't this a great question?
All right.
Yes.
I know my answer.
Really?
Yeah.
Right off the bat.
Yeah. For a minute, I was like, "Oh, this is the toughest question I've ever had," and then it just clicked immediately. So I was working as a deckhand in Alaska on a fishing boat, and I was rolling your own cigarettes, and some just old coffee beans.
Yeah, just. What you had.
Yeah, just it was, I think it was Folgers. And I made it myself at 4 in the morning before I had to go do a 20-hour shift
slinging
fish. Yes. And I just remember looking out, and we're in the Southeast Passage. I rolled my little cigarette, made that cup of coffee. Nobody else really drank coffee on that boat. Sat out there, looked over the ocean. I was like, I love coffee.
Coffee outside.
Heck yeah. Yeah.
That's my best outside. Cup of coffee.
That's awesome.
So
that's...
I love coffee that connects people.
Yeah.
You can have crappy coffee in a good environment with good people and still enjoy your coffee. However,
not me. Sorry.
That's what we were debating.
You are proving something that I'm learning, or not learning, but that is becoming more and more apparent to me, which is that like if you ask someone what their favorite cup of coffee is or what the best cup of coffee they've ever had is, they're going to say very little about the coffee.
It wasn't Jaguar Kesha, it might be someone's.
Right?
I will tell you the highest scoring, best cupping coffee I've had. I've had a few that cup really high, that are rare, that are very expensive, whatever. I've had plenty of those that would all compete for the, you know, the textbook technical best coffee.
Sure.
We can go down that rabbit hole all day long and debate that. But the best cup of coffee was that. And that was almost 20 years ago.
Yeah.
I love how vibrant that was in your head, that it just came right out like that.
Yeah. It just clicked. I was like, oh, man. I started going. I was like, yeah, so I've got this, you know, wash process, you know, geisha from, you know, Panama, you know.
Yeah, so, yeah, of course.
You could go through the catalog.
But it's interesting. I think, you know, drinking coffee so rarely about the coffee. So it's hard as someone who, I mean, I could care a lot less about service. I've had bad service and good coffee and been happy, right?
Sure.
I've had like whatever environment that I could like brew a really nice cup in, I could care, you know, like I'm so centered on the coffee. I think it's a weird separation between like an obsessive personality as a professional,
right?
You know, that those two things compounding, mm-hmm, versus like, you know, your best cup is about so much more, I think, than just like what's in the cup.
Yeah. That's where I come from. I mean, it's your customer service, you can have excellent coffee and it'd be in a shitty environment.
And you're
just not going to enjoy it. Or you can have the best cup of coffee and the barista is super pretentious and gawks at you because you asked for the coffee a little bit wrong, or you don't understand how good of a cup of coffee you're drinking. You know, it kind of ruins it. So, but also some of the best food I've ever had have been in a complete shithole in the middle of the worst town in the worst country, and the service was awful, and I've had some of the best meals there, you know. It's so I get both sides.
Yeah, it's definitely.
And when we're roasting our coffee, I when I go in and I have a poorly extracted coffee or a poorly roasted coffee, it ruins my vibes because we've educated ourselves so much in this industry.
Yeah.
It does kill it for us. Now, I probably wouldn't have drank that Folgers now. Actually, I know I wouldn't have. I would have had my hand grinder.
You would have ruined the moment.
Yes,
I would have had my hand grinder. I would have been, you know, doing my pour over.
Yeah, definitely.
And, you know, laughing at all the guys drinking their Folgers over there. So,
absolutely.
It's all about, you know, your palate, but it's still my favorite, the best cup of coffee I've had.
Yeah, and like you do a lot of work to lay that baseline so that somebody at some point, and hopefully, you know, over the years, a number of people, mm-hmm, have that best cup of coffee they've ever had in your place, right? Like at Montgomery Court.
Yeah.
And like, if you don't lay that foundation, that's never going to happen. But mm-hmm, you also understand, like, for most people who aren't obsessive nerds like me, like, the bare bones and just what the coffee isn't enough.
Right.
And you have to create that larger experience.
Yeah.
I have
to say, Rochester's coffee, like, people know their coffee here.
Yeah.
We've been working on it, man. We've been at this for 15 years.
Well, yeah, you guys it's good education here, because we got some serious folks coming in knowing what they're talking about. Yeah, exactly.
Let me point out one other thing is, like, you're both roasters sitting in the same room together, you know, like in the same town.
That's the elephant in the room right now.
And well, and then you even talked about, you know, you went to Rory, who has, you know, he is Rochester Coffee in many ways, right? You know, best barista by City Magazine for years, right? I stopped looking at that because it was like, oh, it's going to be Rory again.
Well, I'm just mad they got rid of the best roaster category.
Did they? I haven't even looked.
It feels like it comes and goes. Maybe I'm just not.
Yeah, just like best
attention.
Podcast comes and goes.
Come
too.
On.
I think they got rid of best breakfast burrito this year. I know they had
they
it last
should have
year.
It. You would be up there.
They, well, I would be up. I would be there.
Don't they toy every year with getting rid of the whole idea?
I mean,
doesn't it seem like
can,
every year somebody's like, oh,
it's,
you know,
it's
so-and-so
always,
hates it. Nobody wants it.
It's
like,
always a thing.
Yeah, I was bummed because I was like, there's no...
How am I supposed to win this?
So I'm
I can't
a big...
compete with his coffee, so I might as well do the burrito.
Well, there's no
so.
Best roaster anymore yeah, no. either, so no worries.
Like, two things here. First of all, like, I was impressed. Like, it's got to say something that Rory either knows his fan base enough that he was not threatened by your question there. It also speaks something to your, you know, your character that you were like, hey, I got to recognize this is happening and respect what's already gone on there.
Mm-hmm.
Second thing is I love breakfast burritos in Rochester. And when I saw it on the menu, I was like, this might be a new place. This might be the new place.
Well, and especially since like a city like Denver is so like vibrantly dense with Mexican culture. And it's like, it's such a part of the core of cuisine in that city.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, breakfast burritos, you know, there's not a lot of people that do breakfast burritos here in Rochester. Mello has a really good one.
Yep. That was the only other one I was thinking of.
Yeah. Locals Only Onlys is pretty good too.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've had a few of those over the years. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, there's not a lot. I brought green chili, Hatch green chili, to Rochester.
Shout out to New Mexico.
Mostly because I missed it, and
yeah,
I wanted
sure.
my green
yeah,
chili
awesome.
Breakfast burrito, so I did it for myself. And a lot of people are like, hey, I'm from New Mexico. Hey, I'm from Colorado. I'm so thankful you brought green chili here. We get that, you know,
awesome.
A dozen times a week, so
heck
that's
yeah.
fun.
That's awesome.
So there are some sprinkled people that are Hatch. Most people didn't know what Hatch green chili is.
Well, and it has such a distinct flavor,
here,
too,
here.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's not a jalapeno. It's not a serrano. It's not a poblano. It has this beautiful in-between flavor and... Mm-hmm. Like heat that's noticeable, but it's not too much. It's just a great balance chili, and it roasts so well.
Oh, it's I have it with soup. I do a tortilla, and I use the
Ooh,
tortilla as a spoon.
Nice.
Yeah,
that's
so,
awesome.
Yeah.
Well, that's really cool, Colin. Thank you so much for your time and for telling us your story. Is there one more time? So we've got Montgomery Court Coffee on Instagram.
Yep.
Right? MontgomeryCourt.com, where I see there's also an area for a zoning update. So hopefully, you know, when this gets out into the world, like we'll have something, we'll have some positive traction, some good news for everyone. Anything else you want to say about Montgomery Court or Language of Coffee or Rochester or where you're at?
I just want to thank the Rochester community and everybody, like especially the coffee community. Denver was very, you know, it was very aggressive between the owners, the local coffee shop owners. You and I have gotten along great. We all get, the owners were all in like a little text thread, you know, on Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
So we're very communicative. And I just really appreciate how supportive everybody is. And just for you invite me. I mean, we're both, you know, we're both roasters. We both own coffee shops. And
yeah.
It's just like, come be on my podcast. That would never happen in Denver. That would never happen in Denver. And so I just want to thank you guys for having me here and get to talk a little bit about my little corner coffee shop, and I'm just thankful for that, and I appreciate all you guys' time.
Awesome. Love what you do. Thanks for
thank
it.
You guys.
Yeah,
thanks
we're happy to
yes.
have you and have you contribute to this community.
Oh, I'm happy to be here. So
this has been a presentation of the Lunchador Podcast Network.
You too can meet your wife down near Montgomery Court.